Shut up and sit down.
What's going on, guys? This is the Anime Complex. My name is Josh.
And I'm James.
We're back. Brand new episode. What's going on, man? How's everything?
Not much, man. It's a Friday afternoon. It's fucking hot outside.
Yeah.
It's so humid.
Yeah,
it's like, freaking... It feels like someone's putting like a blanket over your head and like stepping on you.
It's nasty outside.
It's disgusting.
Mosquitoes everywhere. I'm getting bit like up all the time. Anytime I go outside, it's just mosquitoes. And inside, it's like I killed like four, five, six of them this past couple days.
Yeah, my girlfriend tells us she has like a wasp nest outside.
Yeah, I got one outside too. I'm always taking them down or killing them. They're always
fucking crazy. Yeah. And those guys are savages.
They are. They
are. Damn.
There's one right now that... just outside over here.
Well, you have fruit trees, so I'm sure you attract some crazy insects.
A lot of fruit trees, a lot of spiders, a lot of bees, like honeybees will go on some of the trees outside. A lot of wasps. I've taken down maybe four or five since we moved in. And then a lot of ants, red ants. And they're aggressive. Even if I have shoes or sandals on, like there'll be a something biting me, like a little pinch on my little my ankle.
And those hurt. What is that? Those red ant bites hurt.
And it's like this little ant clinging to my leg, my foot, and he's just biting me. And I'm like, what the?
Damn. And you know, it's dangerous because like you have a son that's young. Yeah, he likes to go outside.
So when I take him outside, he has his shoes on. And if he doesn't have his shoes on, like a lot of times he likes to go outside and get wet with the hot water hose and all that. So I'm hosing everything down. There's nothing alive that's going to be around them. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And even if there's a wasp or something flies by, I spray that shit down.
Good. Because, his age, he's like really vulnerable to all that stuff.
Yeah, and those ants are aggressive, man. My mother-in-law was out at night. She was out here in the garden area, and then she was doing something with the plants, and she was put her hand in to move the soil around or something like that, and one of the beds over here, and then she got bit up all on her arm, her forearm.
No.
But she couldn't see him because it was at night, and she didn't know what was going on, and I told her, you got bit up by those ants, because when they bit me for just a quick second, it's like it welts up a little bit.
Jesus.
She had a bunch of them the next day just all up on her arm.
Yeah, those red ants are fucking savages.
Aggressive, dude.
Ants are crazy. Like the whole species is insane.
There's tons of them. They're all underground, but there's so many.
Damn, that's crazy.
What else? What you been up to?
Nothing. I bought Manscaped 3.0 with lawnmower.
Shaving those.
So
balls.
Those are the guys, for a guy listeners that has a jungle down there and you want to like feel good about yourself, that shit works fucking awesome. Yeah. You can fucking shave your asshole and everything. And fucking, it's all good. Like you don't get nicked. Just be careful. It works. I think it's worth the money.
Yeah,
it's kind of pricey, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
It has like a little flashlight to guide you through the jungle.
Uh-huh.
It's fucking awesome.
I shave my nuts maybe, I guess, every couple months. I mean,
you really need to do it all the time.
You don't need to do it all the time.
No. And this one's cool. Yeah. Like you can do your body, like any part of your body.
I used to use a razor at one point, but I stopped. That was a short
fuck
while.
The razor. No,
razors are so dangerous.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Especially down there.
And you bleed for forever. And then sometimes it leaves like these little like... I don't know what they are.
Like nick, like little like
growth
bumps.
Things. Yeah. It's weird. It's not like your hair follicles or anything like that. It's not like they welt up. It's not just that. Or like, you know, goosebump type of feel. Mm-hmm. No, it's like it leaves like these little, for me at least, it left like these little like, I don't know, these tiny like, I don't know how to explain it.
Like little bumps?
Yeah, almost. But it was weird.
No, it's dangerous too, because like if you don't do it the right way, you can create like ingrown hairs, and those things are fucking painful as fuck.
Yeah, they are.
So
if
you want, like, you can do what you do and just do like a regular shaver. I just got the Manscaped just because I heard so much such good things about it, so I want to try it out for myself. And
they like sponsor every podcast except ours.
So it's funny, every time it's been fucking work, man. That guy suckered in right away, but I love it, dude. It's fucking awesome.
Well, hearing like some of the podcasts like Tushy or like, you know, like on Rogan's or Diaz, they'll talk about Tushy. It made me want to try out a bidet. So I didn't go with Tushy, but I ended up buying it a bidet, mm-hmm. and it's awesome. Awesome, man. They're awesome.
Yeah, at work, I bought like wipes.
Yeah.
So I have one pack of wipes at home, and then one in my locker at work.
Yeah.
Because I refuse to use toilet paper.
It's toilet paper, you know what? It's annoying to have to use toilet paper now.
Yeah.
Since we moved in, I couldn't find one of the, what I did with one of the bidets. One of the bidets got lost in the
no.
move. It's probably somewhere in the garage. I don't know where it's at. And the other one's in one of the rooms.
But, yeah.
But yeah, it's they're freaking awesome. You haven't used one yet?
Well, at your house I did.
Yeah, okay, good.
But if you don't have a bidet, I think wipes is the second best thing to do.
Wipes is the second best thing.
Yeah. I love the wipes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I use that. I buy like a 4-pack. I have a 2-pack at home, 2-pack at work.
Love it. Toilet paper is, once you get some of the toilet paper is annoying to use, man.
It's just, you don't feel clean, and you almost feel like it's
wasteful.
Waste. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause the wipes, you get one or two wipes and you're pretty good.
Yeah. I do two most.
The bidet, it's like it cleans you out and then you use a little bit of toilet paper to dry yourself off, really. And you're good, man. We're drinking Modelo's today.
Yeah. Good beer, man. I haven't had a Modelo in a long time. Tasty.
You're trying, you tried a little bit of the Buffalo Trace whiskey.
Yeah. That's
another recommendation from like the podcast that we watch, like Rogan always has.
Yeah.
It. I got to try that.
I'm not a big fan of liquor. I think Josh has always been a liquor person and a beer person. He's been both.
But I'm more mixed drinks, I mix it with something. I'll mix it with like some soda or some like Perry water or something.
Because I think you introduced me to the whiskey sours I just don't like the taste of liquor.
Straight, but that whisker, it's a little harsh. I don't know how people can just
But right now, they gave me a shot of that Buffalo stuff over ice.
Yeah.
Delicious. Like, it's the first time I can actually taste the whiskey without getting grossed out.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm a big fan of like Glenn Lovitz and all that. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to try Buffalo Trace. Obviously, Rogan talks about it a lot.
Yeah.
It's tasty.
It's
good, man.
And like when you drink it, like you don't feel that burn.
No.
It's smooth.
You don't feel the burn. And this is with ice. Like if you drink it straight, you're going to get more of that harshness of the alcohol and the flavor. And all
but
that.
The ice kind of like waters it down.
The ice mellows it out.
It's tasty. And this is good from someone that doesn't even like liquor.
Yeah, yeah. And I like liquor, I like all kinds of alcohol and drugs and stuff, but I don't do a lot of straight alcohol.
Yeah.
I like to relax and sit back. I don't want to feel like I'm testing my manhood every time I'm taking a sip.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fun.
Yeah.
So, but, with the Buffalo Trace, I enjoyed it, man. The first sipping, I was like, I got to try it straight. And then some ice, and it was good, and no lingering strong aftertaste.
It's tasty.
Yeah,
I think both of us are experiencing how to be a gentleman as far as taking care of ourselves and the drinks and it's
me. I think I'm going. I'm regressing. I'm growing out my hair. I'm not really shaving as much. Yeah,
it looks good.
I'm not shaving as much. I'm drinking.
I think seeing with your hair going to be fucking weird as fuck.
Seeing some of our old like videos or photos or whatever and me with short hair, it's like it's weird. It's a little weird. I kind of don't mind if I went back to it. I wouldn't mind if I went back to it and cut it all off.
No, it looks good though.
Yeah.
Like your face, it fits it.
Yeah.
I think some people can pull it off, others can't. Like I try to grow my hair out, I probably look like a beaner straight out. I already do, but it'll be worse.
It'll be different. I haven't seen you with long hair.
I haven't had long hair since I was in high school. Yeah. I think right now the way I have it, I consider it long. It's fucking bugging me. But no, it looks good.
Have you been watching anything on Netflix? Any movies?
I've been watching Twilight Zone. I think I'm on season 2. I'm watching
the old one.
Yeah, fucking fantastic. Yeah. High score. Highly recommend it.
Yes.
If you're a gamer or not gamer. It's not childhood, it brings you back to like your childhood, man.
Yeah, and if anybody's seen like what's it called? What's the other? What's the
show? Toys That Made Us.
If you watch on Netflix, and there's a documentary series.
Same thing, huh?
Yeah, it's a documentary series like Toys That Made Us. It's like going back on some of the retro toys and like going really deep into them.
Yeah.
This one's video games.
Yeah, and it's cool because it has like that 8-bit animation.
Yeah, and it does these little like. Cutaways to like animation of
I love that part
reenacting what happened you know, so it's cool.
Yeah,
I only caught one episode.
It makes you I think I caught the I'm watching the Atari one, episode one. Because I didn't go in order. I watched the Street Fighter one.
Yeah.
That's crazy how that one guy won the championship when he was coaching a team. He's on an office job.
Then he quits. Yeah. He quits it and then goes to an office job and then is like, and then his boss wants to put together a team.
Yeah.
But if you look at his team wasn't really that impressive. I'm like,
no.
I thought he moved on, left the company, and went to work for like a video game.
Yeah.
And,
but that's crazy. I think that like that one guy from the arcade kind of taught him the ropes of how to play.
Yeah. And then
he became superior and he wanted more competition.
Yeah.
Imagine like winning a championship that big back then.
You got to be
fucking awesome. And watching it, I remember because they talked about like it being like a competitive game where you compete with other players.
Yeah.
And I remember arcades, like back when we had arcades. You want to be next. You put that quarter on top of the one player button and you wait your turn.
I always worried about someone stealing it.
Like, yeah.
Someone's going to steal my quarter.
Yeah. That's fucking great. Yeah. Those games are awesome, man.
Mortal Kombat and all that. I remember when those hit the arcades or hit the consoles.
Yeah.
How big it was. It was.
Yeah. Because like you said, have to go to an arcade to play those games and then you can take it home with you. But I remember like.
Now you could buy those arcade machines for cheap. Like $200, something like that.
Yeah. I want to get one. But, I remember going to playing Street Fighter all the time and then buying Pogs and playing Pogs. Remember that shit?
Yeah, I had a lot of Pogs. I never played the Pogs, but I just collected the Pogs.
Yeah. And then, like, the big one, what's the big one called?
The heavy steel ones.
Yeah.
What are they called?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know whether I remember what they're called.
They had, like, a specific name to it, right?
Or they were, like, no.
Something like that. Something I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was, like, a place, like, a comic place that sold comics, Pogs, and... Yeah, Street Fighter 2, the championship edition.
Yeah.
I still always go there and play.
Yeah.
And this memories, man.
Yeah.
The good old days.
If there's if one of those arcade machines that you would have won, which one did you buy? There's a Street Fighter one, man. Mortal Kombat.
Street Fighter. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Ones,
yeah.
The X-Men one's pretty good. The
X-Men one's pretty cool.
I
played the X-Men one a lot. I think it might be a toss-up between like X-Men and maybe Mortal Kombat.
But definitely Street Fighter.
Definitely Street Fighter.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat too. Damn. And I didn't know that Johnny Cage is based on Jean-Claude Van Damme. Isn't that crazy?
I think they wanted, what did they want? Jean-Claude Van Damme. And he opted.
And his signature move is a move from Bloodsport.
Yeah.
And I didn't even notice that. And I love that fucking move from Bloodsport.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I knew that the character was modeled off of him. I knew, found out about it later, but I didn't know that they actually wanted him in the game.
I don't know why he declined it. Yeah. He got like back.
He was a big time.
Yeah, he was big
around
time.
Around that time. Yeah.
But still, revenue and shit.
Yeah.
I'd fucking take it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Make extra money.
But he doesn't seem like a guy that would. I know he did Bloodsport and all that, but he doesn't seem like a guy that would want to go that far with the blood.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. He doesn't seem like that type to me.
Yeah.
But
great series.
Great series. The NBA Jam. Arcade machine? I don't know.
That'd be sick too.
That'd be a sick one.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
I saw the NBA Jam one, and I used to play a lot of NBA Jam, and I like that.
Just fucking like over the top power moves with the ball going on fire.
Even the NFL Blitz. Remember NFL Blitz?
I love that game too.
That was such a good one.
Yeah, you know it'd be good. Those like WrestleMania, like one of those games.
Oh yeah, if WWE should come out with one.
Yeah. No, they need to.
They need to. They should
bring back the ice cream.
Yeah. What was it? What was it? What were the ones?
It was the WrestleMania.
The N64 ones. You probably want the... Well, you'd probably have to go with the retro ones from the early 90s.
But do you remember playing them with the arcade version of WrestleMania?
Yeah.
It was like a couple of matches and that's it?
Because they had one that was... The really, really good one was the one that they almost had like these finishing moves and powers, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like you can pick either from Saturday Night, Main Event, or you can pick from... Like SummerSlam or WrestleMania.
And they're almost like, it was almost like, I forgot the name of the game. Was it WrestleMania?
I think it was, yeah.
They were almost photorealistic, like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it had like Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. Kind of
cartoonish.
Yeah, there was another one that was cartoonish.
That one was a good one, too.
And the N64 ones are great. Even the WCW versus NWO was great.
That was probably the best wrestling game.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
My favorite was probably the PlayStation and... the early 2000 ones, the SmackDown ones.
The SmackDown was fucking great from PS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain.
Yeah.
And then SmackDown versus Raw.
Yeah.
Those three, I think, oh man, those are so good.
Yeah.
So fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then the character, like, the you were able to customize the characters.
Yeah.
And create, like, these weird, crazy characters.
With your own, like, Titantron?
Yeah, yeah, your own Titantron, finishing moves,
yeah,
everything. Call it whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good.
Good times, man. Good so times.
Good. Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, great series, though.
Yeah, great series, yeah.
So highly recommend it.
What is it called?
High Score.
High Score.
Netflix, yeah. Check it out. It's a limited series, so you got to check it out before they take it away.
I've been watching the Watchmen series on HBO. It's good. I've been watching Narcos again, Narcos Mexico, watching, what's it called? Narcos Mexico. What was the other one I just said? Watchmen.
Watchmen. Yeah.
A couple movies. I've been playing a lot of FIFA and FIFA 2019 because I'm like, why am I going to get 2020 or 2021? I'm like, yeah. I don't know. And I'm not good with a lot of those games, but, I'm getting better. I'm getting pretty good. I'm mid-level, so I'm playing those. I'm trying to get pretty decent.
Okay.
So it's fun.
I'm watching the Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah?
I'm on season 2. Great series. Fucking great series. Yeah, I wanted to start watching Narcos, like, from the beginning, like the Pablo Escobar one, and go to the Cali Cartel. I might do that.
Yeah.
I'm watching anime.
And I've been reading a lot, too. I've been... Robin Williams.
I saw your book. That Lucio Ball one looks interesting.
Yeah, I finished Robin Williams' book. It's great, man. The ending one's just sad because it really gives you in depth about, like, everything that surrounded his death and, like, the funeral and, like, what everybody even said during the funeral, like, all that stuff. His kids. Oh, it was so bad. That was a good book. And then I'm on the Scott Weiland memoirs from STP. I'm reading that. That one's, like, short and sweet. I'm probably get through that one pretty quick. Probably early next week.
Well, once you finish the Lucio Ball, maybe you can swap. I'll read you my Bret Hart, because the Bret Hart one's a good read.
Yeah,
it's so far my favorite wrestling book, just because Bret Hart, he did write for the Calgary Sun. He had his own article, so he's a good writer.
Yeah,
that's a good book. So
this one, I wanted to get this one because this one's in her own words.
Yeah,
she had a lot of to do with this one. Whereas the others are just written about her.
Yeah.
I did hear my brother-in-law, Javi, he was saying that there was another book that kind of talks more about the show and the relationships with the other cast members and everything that surrounded all that stuff in the company and all the, like,
I want to get the juicy gossip.
Like, basically, like, the juicy gossip. That's the whole book. It was a tell-all.
Yeah.
He said that one's really good. I wasn't sure if this one was going to be she was going to expose herself as much as she should. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to get her take on it. So that's why I got this book.
And you do the other one?
I wanted to just know about her.
Let me know.
Because I know a lot of the gossip.
Like, we saw books. Bret Hart. And then, like, I still want to get Jim Ross's book because other wrestlers and other people in the company and the business have said nothing but great things about it. It's called Under the Black Hat.
Under the Black Hat.
And he's writing on Amazon. I think Jim Ross would write anything you want on. He'll sign in. Yeah. Write pretty much anything you want.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
That's a good one. What else? Yeah, the Lucy one I want to get to. I have one on Walt Disney. I don't know. I like these people that are. I don't know. Why I singled those people out? Maybe because they always interested in me and always kind of, I don't know.
They're also like major.
They're
like
iconic in
CEOs
some way.
In their companies. I mean, those people that you just mentioned influence culture.
Because I have one with Jerry Weintraub, who was like this concert promoter, movie producer. And he always interested in me. I don't know why. So I got his book. He wrote it before he left. He left the earth. Yeah, he died. And then then I got Scott Weiland. Because I just always loved STP and I always liked Scott Weiland. So, the book. And then Lucy, I always wanted Lucy, I don't know, just that interests me. I wanted that Walt Disney. I've always been a big fan of Walt Disney and always interested in the guy.
The Disney Plus documentary series is great.
Yeah. They're
the Imaginary World?
But their documentaries that they have on there, oh man, they're so good.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Mm-hmm.
They highlight a lot of those people behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Robin Williams. I want to get the Elton John book. And I probably wouldn't mind trying Dirt in the Motley Crue one. I always heard that one's a really good one.
Yeah, I want to see the movie. I haven't gotten around to seeing it.
I heard the book's crazy, like just the stories in it. Like it's mm-hmm. just, it's crazy. I don't know how much the movie talks about it, but yeah. Let's get to some fights. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So in terms of fights, last weekend we had one of the biggest events of the summer, of the year, as in terms of its importance in the history books.
Yeah.
Miocic versus Cormier 3 was last weekend. Card overall was pretty decent, you know.
Top two.
Yeah. You had Mirab Tavalishi defeating John Dodson as a, you know, back and forth. Daniel Pineda defeating Gilbert Burns, or Herbert Burns, I'm sorry. Rozenstruik defeating Junior Dos Santos, which is, felt bad for Junior, dropping three in a row. Probably came in the best shape of his life there. You have Marlon Vera defeating Sean O'Malley in a very weird ending, I guess, in a sense.
Very weird, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people were attributed to maybe an injury for, like, I don't know. It was weird because I was in and out of the fight in terms of watching it, but...
Me too.
Marlon Vera landed a couple low kicks, and then at some point in the fight, O'Malley's leg kind of buckles.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marlon Vera kind of picks up with the low kicks and then sends him to the mat and then kind of finishes him off with some strikes, but he wasn't necessarily out.
Yeah.
And he's, after the fight's over, he's clutching his knee.
Mm.
People attribute it to, you know, Vera still won because he caused the damage in a sense. But it was kind of a freak, weird ending to a big hype fight.
Yeah. I mean, it was like a freak accident.
Yeah.
And I mean, for Sean, I think he's going to blame that more than him defeating.
Yeah.
It's almost like he defeated himself. Almost.
Yeah. And he's not really holding back. He's saying that he lost to a journeyman. It's weird. He's like, I should have lost to somebody that I felt like I shouldn't have lost to. And this and that. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
it was a weird fight.
A lot of people are celebrating his demise. You know, like people are, they don't, they like to see
character,
they like to see people,
lose. Yeah.
They like to see people lose.
It's sad.
So I think Sean O'Malley will bounce back. Say he fights before the end of the year. I wouldn't mind them rerunning this back.
Me neither.
I hope they do.
Yeah, to get a definitive.
If you're looking at Marlon, he's probably going to look to move past Sean O'Malley. Mm-hmm. But I hope
at some point they cross paths again.
Yeah, but I hope they turn. They
should.
I say they redo it before the end of the year. Why not?
They should.
What else did they got going on? So it's unfortunate to see that Sean O'Malley. I mean, I love both of these guys, but Marlon Vera, they all have great stories, and Marlon Vera especially. But someone's got to win, and unfortunately, Sean O'Malley lost. People are saying the hype train's over. I don't see it that way. I think this is a bump. He'll come back. He's going to obviously learn. He's the type to learn from fights. And I hope they run that one back. I wouldn't mind seeing it like a full-fledged kind of like fight between these two guys.
Yeah.
Stipe Miocic defeating Daniel Cormier via unanimous decision to retain his heavyweight title and cementing his legacy in the history books as the greatest heavyweight of all time. The fight overall, what are your thoughts, your takeaways? What do you think?
I thought it was a competitive fight. I mean, DC and Stipe have a history of having great fights. Yeah. I mean, both guys brought it. I think DC looked great. I think he took him down, mm-hmm. and he tried to make that fight be interesting on the ground, but Stipe, you know, happened to get back up. I think both guys eye poked each other.
Yeah.
I think
Stipe is a little bit worse.
Yeah, I believe so. Now, do I think that affects the fight? Maybe.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, I think Stipe proved to be the better fighter out of the two. So I'm not going to take away anything from Stipe. He did what he had to do, but I think DC, win or lose, and he's going to be considered one of the greatest top five in my book.
He didn't get starched in this fight.
No, it was competitive.
Yeah. And there wasn't a lot of bad blood. It was more of just a competitive thing.
Yeah.
I think so. I think even though Daniel Cormier lost in this fight, I think he will still go down as one of the best of all time.
Yeah, I mean, he won. He
two-division champ.
Yeah, exactly.
Multiple-time champ, defended his title in heavyweight. So mm-hmm. he has that under his belt, a legitimacy to his heavyweight title. And then I think Stipe proved, even with the eye pokes aside, that he's the better fighter.
Yeah.
And I think people are saying, oh, I don't know why Cormier didn't go for takedowns or this and that. I think at this point in his career, his age, the weight class, the size of the guy who he's fighting, the caliber of fighter.
Yeah. People forget it. Stipe is a great wrestler.
Stipe is a great wrestler, and he's not an easy guy to go against in five rounds. And I think Cormier considered that as like, I need to last all five rounds. And if I decide to wrestle this guy for three rounds, I'm going to be done by the fourth.
Do you remember in the second fight, DC attempted to take him down, and he stopped himself saying that this guy could wrestle, so I'm not going to take him down.
Yeah, and I don't want to. He was afraid of his gas tank, basically, I think, at that weight.
Yeah, people always forget, because Stipe uses his boxing so much. Yeah. People forget how good of a wrestler he really is.
And he's big. He's powerful, big, strong guy. Mm-hmm. And great.
He's an all around fighter.
Great footwork, calm, great stand up, all around great fighter.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy.
He fights best. Like under pressure and adversity, when he's like losing the fight,
yeah,
like his ability to like step up and change game plans and change the fight is tremendous.
Yeah, and his demeanor going into this fight was very like, he went into it, I think, thinking he's a champ, and I think that's a lot of guys go against Daniel.
Yeah, he went in there with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, they're defeated before they get mm-hmm. in, and I think he went in there knowing that he could beat him.
Yeah, and he proved it.
And I think
so. Kudos to him.
Yeah, and I think, is he the greatest of all time? I think, yeah. I think you can put.
I can feel comfortable saying that. Yeah,
yeah, because of the era, the
who he's fought,
who he's fought, how he beat them,
and he had the title. He's defended the title more than anybody in the heavyweight division in history.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, you can look back at Fedor's legacy run.
But who did he fight?
He's top. He fought a lot of the really good guys in their prime. I think could a prime this current Stipe beat a prime Fedor?
I think so. Yeah,
and the I think the dark horse would be, can a prime Stipe beat the prime Kane?
Yeah,
that's a
and those three guys are the three guys that people bring up when talking about the greatest ever.
He's DC with the gas tank.
Yeah.
You know, and.
But Kane kind of defeated himself. Yeah, he took himself out of that picture.
Yeah, he took himself out of the picture. His injuries, his inconsistency.
Fought like an eclipse.
Once every 3 years.
Four years.
It's just, he had his moment. Mm-hmm. He had a small, short run.
He went to wrestling and.
Yeah.
It's like. And now.
Yeah. I don't know. How does that guy make money? I don't know.
No, the WWE released him.
Yeah.
Where is he going now?
How is he making money? I don't want to. Especially with no gyms open.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was coaching and doing seminars and shit.
And like the amount of time that he fought in the UFC, he can't be a millionaire.
No.
Wow. There's no way.
No way.
He fought like every like 3-4 years, like you said. Yeah. It's crazy.
I don't know. Especially even when he was on his short run. He couldn't have made that much money.
No. I think his biggest money fight was probably against Brock.
I mean, even if he did make a lot of money, the amount of money that's being thrown around now.
Compared to then. It's probably apples and oranges.
Yeah. I don't, even if he was fighting Brock.
Now, what do you, put, or how do you view DC's legacy?
I'd say legacy, I think, is cemented as one of the best of all time. You know, a guy who doesn't look like he would be a world champion,
mm-hmm.
being a world champion and fighting the best, and always either that number one or number two, and switched.
He was almost like a Randy Couture, but not as old as Randy Couture.
Yeah.
And he started his career very late in his age.
Yeah.
He's someone, like you said, who looked like one of us, fighting in there and competing with the best of the best.
And I've met him in person. I met him like when I was doing the internship over there.
Yeah.
I met him. Not a big guy.
When we covered the UFC at,
I'm not a big
that
guy.
That one time at 199,
yeah.
He was back there. Because I was when I was backstage at the UFC, and I was hanging out with Ariel the whole time, because he's the only person that talked to me. DC came up to him and kind of like interrupted our conversation and took him aside.
Yeah.
So like I talked to him for a few seconds, but
he's
cool.
Big, he's not a big guy though, huh?
No, he's like stocky. Just stocky. Super nice.
Yeah.
I was surprised how nice he was.
Yeah. I don't know. I think a people's guy, a company guy, an athletic accomplishments. I think nobody can deny that, and has accomplished more than I think people might have expected him to.
Yeah,
and it's one of those guys that just mentally is one of those guys that always seemed like sure of himself, even if he didn't look the part or acted the part. You knew he went in there and he was all focused on the mission to accomplish. You know,
You know, the thing that bothers me is that people are talking now, calling him the bridesmaid and someone who came in second place all the time.
No,
but he wasn't. Guy's a two division champion. He was dominant at 205, even though he lost to John Jones, the ex champ, and at heavyweight he was a champion. So I think,
and it was competitive at heavyweight.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, it was like,
and at his age and what he did in this, and how he defeated those guys. I mean, looking back at the Grand Prix and how he defeated Josh Barnett by throwing him around like a rag doll, he was badass.
And not to mention, he stayed at light heavyweight because Kane was
at heavyweight.
Heavyweight. So if he would have, because he at Strikeforce he was at heavyweight. If he would have went into the UFC at heavyweight and actually probably even stayed away from John Jones, he might have been the reigning heavyweight champ.
Yeah, and then also too, like, and people forget too, like, John Jones is considered one of the GOAT, right? But did he go to heavyweight? No, he didn't. He said it was at heavyweight. Anderson Silva, another person, did he go up and compete at 205?
Yeah.
He didn't.
No.
DC competed at 205 in heavyweight and was champion in both divisions. And people forget it about that.
And defended his title in both divisions.
Yeah. So John Jones and Anderson Silva never did that.
Yeah. And even though he lost to John, competitive. Even though he lost to Stipe, it was competitive.
Yeah.
And
it was never a one-sided fight.
No, it wasn't like a Uriah Faber or like a...
Or like a Benavidez.
Yeah, or Benavidez that never got the title in the in the UFC.
This guy was a two-division champion.
Yeah.
And he did what most fighters didn't do when I fought two divisions.
Yeah. Or like a cowboy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is, they're that good, but never good enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I think he's fine. He's also going to have a long... commentary career.
Mm-hmm. He's always gonna be involved with the sport.
I mean, this guy's set. He's good. Long career, made his money. You know, just two championships, everything like that. And Stipe is the same thing. Stipe, I think this is might be it for him. I don't see him in terms of his career. I think it's gonna be no. I think I say he's gonna go on and fight. I'm talking about as fighting and moving on from fighting. I say he probably moves on from fighting to firefighting.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty much it. I don't know. He's got something else he's interested in.
No, I agree with that statement.
He's obviously not a good talker. Mm-hmm. No. He doesn't really speak clearly.
He mumbles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, no, kudos to Stipe. He's obviously proved he's the best of the best in terms of heavyweight. And so is Daniel. So I think it was just a good fight overall. Eye pokes aside, I don't think it needs to be run back. I think more people would have been disappointed if it was stopped early.
Yeah.
Let's say, because if it was stopped early, I didn't would have you think Daniel would have opted to not continue? Or would he have pushed through it?
I think he would have pushed through it. Yeah, he's that kind of fighter.
So I'm glad they didn't stop. I think more people would have been upset if they would have just stopped it and be like, oh, we have to run it back for a fourth time. It's like, ugh.
It was a definitive victory for Stipe.
Yeah. And talk about heavyweight. John Jones, you know, is back in the negotiating table with the UFC. They came up to it's going positive as far as he's saying. They're probably going to come up to it with deals soon. And then he vacated his light heavyweight title. He's making the official move to heavyweight. I'd say we probably see him at heavyweight before the end of the year. And most likely it's going to be the winner of
Francis and Stipe.
I'm hoping we see Jones before the end of the year at heavyweight. I would like him to see.
I think so. I think John Jones is.
I hope he takes a fight.
For the first time in a long time, he's happy with the UFC.
Yeah, and I hope he takes a fight. Like, don't, I know you want a title right away and you want Stipe right away, or but Nagano's deserving of that shot. But I think...
Yeah, there's no rush if he had that fight.
I hope Jones takes a high, like a number three spot.
Yeah, in fact, I think it makes that fight bigger if he waits.
Yeah. And also to get used to the heavyweight, you know, division.
Yeah.
Take a fight, see how you do. Big name, whatever you can get, you know, and the winner gets the title shot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, but he's vacating his title, and Dominic Reyes and Jan Błachowicz are fighting for the vacant light heavyweight title. So that should be, I think in November. I think
it's kind of sad where those guys are, because they're going to be considered the two champions, and a lot of people realize.
Yeah.
Especially Reyes.
Especially Reyes, because Reyes, in a lot of people's eyes, beat Jones.
Yeah,
in their fight. So I think if he were to win the title, it gives him he has a little bit more legitimacy.
Yeah, I think people won't be too upset.
No, because a lot of people who saw that fight, half, I'd say it's probably 50-50, thought he actually won.
Yeah, more people thought he won than
so. If he was a title holder, I don't think a lot of people would be upset. Yeah. What else is in the news? Anything else?
Yeah. Chandler.
Oh yes, Michael Chandler. Coker says he's not signing him.
Yeah.
They're not looking to sign. Chandler said, you know, they had plenty of time to sign me and they didn't.
He pretty much felt disrespected by
Bellator. Coker, for not even trying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's like, I just beat your number two guy. What else do you have? You know, I'm the number one guy in your division. Who else do you got?
I don't know why.
He's got a point.
Yeah, I don't know why Coker's not even going for him. I mean, like, who does he have? Like, he is a face of Bellator.
Yeah. And maybe Coker's also doing him a favor. Like, you know, Coker's that type of guy where I could see him letting Chandler go.
Yeah.
To.
I hope that's the case.
For the fighter's sake.
Yeah, I mean, Chandler, he always says he's the best, but he hasn't proven himself. And I think he needs to, in his career, like Ben Askren in the UFC, and test himself, because he's never really done that.
And there's rumbling.
He had opportunities to do it.
There's rumblings of a possible matchup with Poirier when he gets in.
Oh my god,
that'd be great.
Poirier's in the fucking look.
I think they're going at it a little bit on Twitter.
Oh, Dustin. I picked Dustin that fight.
Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah,
yeah. If I was Chandler, I mean, you might as well go shoot for the fences, try to get.
Yeah, and like.
But you don't want to go like out like Askren. He's way out. He's way more well rounded than Askren, though.
Right, but. Yeah, shoot for the stars. I mean, this is your tail end of your career.
Yeah,
make as much money as you can. Get exposed. Finally, get exposed to the outside hardcores and get into the casual guys. And who knows?
Yeah, we'll see what happens with them, man. All right, and this weekend, you have one championship, which had their event last night while we're all sleeping. LFA is this weekend. Bellator is currently going on right now. Mm. And at the moment, we have... Who is fighting right now?
Is it Perez?
No, I think that fight's over. I'm not sure who won that fight. Well, Bellator prelims are going on right now.
Yeah.
So if you guys check that out on YouTube and on Paramount Network and DAZN,
yeah.
It's Bader versus Nemkov. That's tonight. So by the time you guys watch this, it's going to be probably over. And
yeah.
You have a... I think it's maybe Sydney Outlaw and Adam Piccolotti are fighting right now. Mm. You have Andrew Capel and John Salter on the card. You have Valentin Medevsky versus Roy Nelson, Julia Budd versus Jesse Mile, and Ryan Bader versus Vadim Nemkov for the light heavyweight title. Mm. This is on DAZN and Paramount. Bellator 244. This is going on tonight, right now, while we're recording this. That's gonna be a tough fight for Bader. Nemkov is no joke. He's a protege of Fedor.
Mm-hmm.
Big Russian kid, so it's going to be interesting. LFA again. LFA is from Fight Pass. I think that is tonight also. And then you have tomorrow, August 22nd, there's ESPN, UFC on ESPN 15, Munoz versus Edgar. Who do you have on the undercard? Cards.
Yeah.
The card is pretty rough, dude.
Yeah, it's a rough one. But hopefully, you know. They get like a history.
I'm gonna watch it. It'll be fun.
It'll be a fun fight.
It most likely will be a fun card.
Yeah.
A lot of guys that want to prove themselves. But
as far as name value, it's kind of
very. I mean,
it's pretty thin. It's
very thin.
Yeah.
Very, very thin. Probably the thinnest of the summer. but yeah, Pedro Munhoz and Frankie Edgar, which was rebooked.
Supposed to happen like what?
Which card was on it?
I think it was supposed to be.
I think it was the Lewis.
Like one of the biggest ones, right?
Lewis and Olenek. I think it was the headliner for the.
Yeah,
Lewis
it was the Fight Island. I think it was the second night, right? Second night.
Oh, you know, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that got rescheduled. I think Munhoz tested positive for COVID, so they had to push it back. Edgar versus Munhoz. I think Edgar is back. Is this 135?
Yeah, his debut. Yeah,
his debut, right? Very interesting. Munhoz is a short, stocky, very powerful guy.
Yeah, and Frankie Edgar's at his tail end in his career.
Frankie's at the tail end of his career in a new division and gets hit.
I'm picking Munhoz.
I'm picking Munhoz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Frankie Edgar's chin has always been suspect, but now
even
at his age, prime. At his age now, even more.
Yeah, yeah. And Munhoz is no joke when it comes to power.
I think Munhoz stops him.
Yeah, I think Munhoz second round.
Second round, yeah.
Yeah.
Second, third.
I wouldn't even be surprised at first.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah. I mean,
because
the way Frankie shoots in,
And Frankie, especially early on, Frankie always is notorious for getting pretty beat up early on.
Yeah, because he's short and he has to like. Go in himself, yeah. And he always puts himself at risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Frankie.
Poor Frankie. I don't know. Yeah, I don't see it going well for him.
No.
Ovince Peru versus Alonzo Menfield is the co-main event. So that's this weekend. Those are your cards. Those are your fights. That's your news. This is our show. Thank you guys all for watching, listening. Let me give some shout-outs real quick to a couple of our... either listeners or the regions in which you guys are paying attention. Forgot to do it the last couple episodes. Our fans in Illinois. Thank you, guys.
I love Chicago. Hometown, Coos Island.
Our UK fans and our Russian fans. Thank you guys for listening. Our US fans, obviously, I love you guys. But shout outs to those areas and countries specifically. So thank you guys all for listening, watching, comment. Subscribe.
Anything. Hate us. Love us.
Shout outs. Suggestions.
All that good
stuff. And all that. Yeah. So thank you guys for watching, listening. Catch you guys on the next episode.